Genesis chapter 19, in the words of verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. It came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. He said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. And then just ending there, the words of verse 26, we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon them. Have you ever noted the spirit abroad that wants to live in both worlds? They want to be a follower of Christ. And yet at the same time, they want to direct their own life. To obey God in most things, and yet from time to time, do what they really want to do. They want to have one foot in Christ and one foot in the world. Have you come across it? Men and women, there are multitudes of people who seem to have that reasoning. That's the level that they live on. They do not want to deny Christ. Indeed, they will profess faith in the Savior, but at the same time, they're not all out for Christ. They have careers to think about. They have their so-called friends to think about. They have the peer pressure and the reputation among their peers to think about. And when it comes to the bit, it is those things that take the priority. That's why we're found in this particular part of the chapter in Genesis. For the person of Lot, we have a remarkable and a tragic example of that sort of attitude that prevails in many hearts today. The night previous, the two angels that were with the Lord had arrived in Sodom. Lot knew, of course, the sort of sin that it was infamous for, and that's why he strongly protests that they shouldn't stay out in the street. You look at the words of verse 2 of chapter 19. He said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night, wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go in your ways. And they said, Nay, but we'll abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. He knew the sort of place it was known for. The men, however, of the city knew of their arrival and they wanted to demonstrate and to have their filthy pleasure with these two visitors. And it was then that the power of the angels was demonstrated. For the angels were to deliver Lot and his two daughters from the abuse of those Sodomites. And dragging Lot inside his own house, they were to cause those men to be blinded. Now the next morning was the day of their deliverance from the judgment that was coming on the cities. And Lot, along with his wife and his two daughters, are brought forth by the mercy of God outside that city. But if what we have noted already isn't alarming in how much a believer can be conditioned and compromised by the world, then I want you to notice tonight for a few moments what follows as the focus of Lot is upon something small. Just a little one. I want you to see, first of all, the little sigh. Doesn't it beggar belief that we read that while Lot lingered, the angels had to physically lay hold upon him by the hand to bring them out of Sodom, but his conduct isn't any better when he gets outside the city gates, for he starts to remonstrate with the instruction that the angels had given for their deliverance. You look at the words of verse 17 that we have read tonight. Came to pass when they had brought him forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto him, oh, not so, my Lord. They were to warn them to flee to the mountains. They knew the judgment of God was coming. But Lot says, not so, my Lord. And so he proceeds to give his own variation of what he should do. And it amounts to nothing but flee. Instead of fleeing to the mountain, there was a little city. Just a little one. A little place he could run to. How often people argue with those who are trying to do them good. And the astounding thing is that Lot was arguing so sincerely, even when his own life was in danger and the life of his wife and his two daughters. Oh, not so, my Lord. Do you see what his basis for his arguments were upon? Firstly, it was in the fact that God had already been gracious to him. You look at the words of verse 19 at the start. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. In other words, since God had been good enough to spare his life, even from Sodom, he should now also be good enough to allow him to go on sinning. That's what amounts to. Secondly, he bases his argument and his plea on the physical calculation that he wasn't able to make it to the mountain. Look at the end of verse 19. He says, I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Oh, what a contradiction. He had just acknowledged that God had been good enough to spare him from the destruction and the overthrow that was coming upon Sodom. But somehow, he wasn't capable. His providence wasn't sufficient enough to get him to the mountains. I cannot get to the mountains. He has the same spirit as the Israelites after God spared them on the night of the Passover. You see, I read in Exodus chapter 14, verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They had just witnessed the power of God, even sparing their firstborn from death by the blood of the Lamb. Now, their speech is so contradictory. Why don't you just leave us alone? You brought us out to the wilderness that we might die there. And Lot argued on the basis of the smallness of the place that he wanted to go to. He felt it was near enough. He felt it was just a little place. Sure, no harm would be done. Verse 20, behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? Sure, no harm will be done. It's only a little place. You know, men and women, that's the spirit that abounds today. Why can't I sin just a little? Sure, it'll be no harm in the grand scale of things. The prayer of Lot is despicable. For what it amounts to is Lot insisting on having his own way. Oh, he was making a great play at calling himself God's servant, but yet his praying was not, thy will but mine be done. Lord, let me go to little Sodom. Maybe there are some who are thinking what Lot wanted wasn't that bad. After all, God permitted his request. He was allowed to escape to that little place called Zoar. But surely the point is missed if you think along those lines. Why you can't just sin a little bit is precisely because you can sin that bit. There would be no danger if God was to step in and prevent you on every occasion. But God doesn't always stop you. He didn't step in when the children of Israel were to worship the golden calf. He didn't stop David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and he murdered her husband. He didn't stop Gomer going after her lovers. He didn't stop the prodigal son going into the far country and wasting his substance with riotous living. God sometimes allows you and I to do what you want to do, even though in your estimation it is but a little thing. It is but a little sin, but you will have to bear the consequences of that. So you have in this passage a little city. Let me bring you also to see a little comparison. I think this is something that maybe you haven't seen. I'm presuming that. Maybe I'm wrong. I certainly didn't see. I want you just to compare Lot with Abraham at this time. Abraham was determined to do the will of God. Lot was determined to go his own way. One is a giant of the faith. The other is just a dwarf. Remember now, we're talking about two saved men. We read in the New Testament, just Lot. He was justified, he was saved. But in the wrong place. That's saying, look at a wee comparison here. And the comparison really you will find between chapter 18 and chapter 19. You look at chapter 18 verse 1. Where's Abram? It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Where's Lot? Chapter 19 verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Abram's in the plains of Mamre. Lot is found in Sodom. Mamre gives the meaning of fatness or well fed. And we all know, of course, what Sodom means. When the Lord appeared to Abram, he was already in the place of fatness. He was already in the place of blessing and would be blessed even more when he entered into that communion with God. The Lord found Lot amongst the carnal surroundings, the world and its corruption. And he had to force him to leave his house. Chapter 18, verse 1. Abram's found sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Chapter 19, verse 1. Lot is found in the gates of Sodom. Abram lived the pilgrim life. He lives the life of the sojourner, the tent. Moved from place to place. The only piece of ground he owned was his graveyard, his grave plot. The reason being, the apostle gives it to us in that great chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, in the words of verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's why. The more he learned of God, then the less interest he had in the world or its pleasures. But Lot's attention was fixed on Sodom. He wanted the honors of that place, and consequently his view of that heavenly city was marred, and he almost missed seeing the destruction of his earthly city. Do you see the comparison in how they greeted the heavenly visitors? Chapter 18, verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Chapter 19, verse 2, he said, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. There's a subtle difference there. There was a haste with Abram, while Lot merely got up to greet them. The difference is that between the one who walks by faith and the one who walks with the world is noted in how they receive Christ. Abram had nothing of the world to preoccupy his attention. And so when the Lord appeared, he ran to meet him. But Lot was taken up with worldly things. There's no instinctive quickening with him or the senses to be ready for the Lord or to welcome him gladly. He just gives up to greet them. Oh, listen, look on, for you see more. Abram entreated them to turn aside to rest by his tent, and he would refresh them, he would feed them. And you'll notice that he hurries into the tent and he gets Sarah, verse 6, to make the bread. Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Look at the next verse. He employs a servant to prepare the fatted calf, the calf that was chosen for the meal. What a difference when a home runs smoothly. What a difference when a home are all engaged in the service of the Master. And they're supportive in the work of entertaining angels unawares. You see, chapter 19, verse 3, it says, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. He prepared the meal. It betrays the fact that his wife wasn't there. Or at least we might say she wasn't with him in the work. She didn't welcome these unexpected visitors. She didn't want to leave Sodom, and because her heart was there, she looked back and she lost her life, and Lot lost her companionship altogether. What a difference. You see also that Abram was willing to stand near his visitors as they ate. Look at the words of verse 8 of chapter 18. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Lot, what did he do? He went outside to remonstrate with the men of the city. He shut the door behind him. Verse 6 of chapter 19. But before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, encompassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. That's verse 4. And he called unto Lot and said unto them, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out to us, we may know them. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after. The Lord was willing to eat with both men because both of them were saved. For the Lord says in those words, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Abram had that communion with the Lord. Lot, however, fighting against the desires of his neighbors, had little time to enjoy God's presence. Notice also that Abram was promised a son that time the next year. Verse 10 of chapter 18. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Lot, so different. Verse 12 of chapter 19. Men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Abraham was in the way of blessing. And Abraham would have that promised son. Lot in the worldly state. He could only receive a warning of the coming judgment. If anybody belonging to you, Lot, get them out of this place. Abram lingered in the Lord's presence when he left the tent. He's found interceding for the righteous in those cities. Verse 23 of that chapter. Abram drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" But Lot, he speaks about a little town that he wants to flee to. He's pleading for himself. Both are examples of prayer, but only one is interceding in prayer. The other is taken up with himself. He's bargaining to get his own way. Dear people, oh, some might dismiss these as just little things. These are the little sins that we want so much, and taken together, they become the pattern for a defeated life. And isn't it the ironic thing that that little city didn't turn out to be the answer after all? For although God permitted them to go to that little city, it wasn't God's perfect will. God told them, go to the mountain, flee to the mountain. But look at verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. It wasn't what he expected. At the end of the day, he had to obey to get to the mountain. A little comparison. I simply close by showing you the large consequence. The trouble is that little sins lead to greater sins. Hebrews chapter 12 and the words of verse 15. It simply says this. Looking diligently lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, a little sin is exactly that. It's the root. The root that eventually grows much bigger. And the proof of that is when you look to Lot at the end of chapter 19, to the gross incest that he was engaged and involved in with his own daughters. How sad, men and women, it is that the last mention of Lot in the book of Genesis is verse 36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. That alone should be enough to cause us to turn from the little things. The little sins, the little foxes that spoil the vine, and be determined to serve God completely. Consider also his wife. Lot may have thought his little sins were hurting no one but himself, but others were also hurt by his actions. His daughters, his wife who couldn't seem to tear herself away from Sodom. Sin always has consequences, both for the individual and for others. That's one reason why the Savior, in speaking of what the days prior to his return would be like, isn't it interesting that he compares them to the days of Noah, where there's eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and also the days of Lot? He could have used many an example. But those are the two examples that he takes from the Old Testament in Luke chapter 17. And in the words of verse 26, he says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." And the same is found in the words of verse 29 or 28. "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And the Lord goes on to say this in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Why does he put that in? On that day when the Lord comes back, no one on the rooftop will come down into the house to get their things. No one out in the field will return to get their possessions. Why? Remember Lot's wife. You see, it is all summed up in the words of verse 33 of that same passage. For he says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Men and women, may God help us to be sold out for Christ in these days. See, this is not just a wee problem that you maybe get with some of the young people that one foot in the world, one foot in Christ. Here's a problem that's been showed by adults as well. And we want to save our life. We want to save ourselves from being seen to be totally sold out to the Lord. We want to surrender all. And the Lord says, you shall find it. I trust the Lord will bless even those few thoughts from that passage to our hearts tonight as it challenges us. We might be given over completely to the Lord.